teasing my kids the other night. We were doing Bible time, and I told them, I said, you get asked to pray in church. You can pray for more than people driving. I said, you could really shake things up, you know. You could, dear Lord, we pray you'd help this preacher to preach short tonight. And, you know, and I said, you could just go on and on. I said, you'd really get some people excited. So, but, anyhow. Praise the Lord. You're crazy. So that Jake started praying. I was like, oh, Lord, help us. Oh, I thought he was going to just, because he's the one that would do it. The other one, he's scared to death. Now, Lily would do it too. Sam would think about it. Sam's too smart for his own good. He's way too witty. But those two would definitely, they would definitely do it. But praise the Lord. They make me laugh, yell, scream, all at the same time sometimes. You know, I just like, man. Get them all home. Everybody's on spring break. And so my wife said, you're going to be glad when we're gone next week and got a nice quiet house. I said, nah. Anyways, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 8 tonight, or Hebrews chapter 8. I'm convinced if we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to be these outliers of society, man. Oh, not even trying. Just doing what you normally do. Like, I'm going to wake up and go to church. Like, that's radical. That's crazy. Watching the news, listening today. And, you know, Texas is open, you know, but Austin, where UT is, you know, people are just pitching a fit. You know, you're going to kill us all. And just people are crazy. I was just like, all the Texas people are like, always Austin. Always got to be Austin, you know. So for, you know, it's those college towns where the people that don't think like us kind of, you know, congregate. And the people that got to hang on to fear, got to hang on to it. Praise the Lord for not being able to, not having to think about, not even have to worry about those things. But so many people are glad things are changing for the better. And so we praise the Lord for that. Last week we got down through the end of chapter 7. We saw, continuing on the theme here of Hebrews, now that the Lord Jesus Christ is better. And in chapter 7, we saw that the priest after the order of Melchizedek was better, that he was not from Abraham, but Abraham, in fact, paid tithes to him. And then we see that in verse 22 of chapter 7, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And tonight we're going to look at a better promise and a better covenant, and it just keeps going on. And the idea is there's nothing wrong with the Old Testament, absolutely nothing wrong with the Old Testament. We study it, we read from it, we learn from it, we preach from it, all those things. But it is prophetic of the Lord coming. It's prophetic of Christ. Who is better? It didn't start with Jesus and then Moses get crucified on the cross. It didn't work that way. A preacher I was listening to is a Grant Stinchfield's program tonight. Some guy getting up and saying, because the big thing now is race, right? So it's just like, you know, was Jesus racist, you know? So he was saying, well, I called this lady Samaritan, called her a dog, you know? And it just makes you feel, because I didn't know that Jesus was human too. Like, oh, give me a break. I didn't hear him say he was a sinner. Grant said he called him a sinner, and I said, oh, my soul. So it's like, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that gets said behind pulpits all over the place, and I'm not the one that go and listen to everybody and say, I'm not that guy. We just preach the truth and let other people sound crazy. But the theme here in Hebrews is we're getting the Lord, we're getting Lord Jesus Christ, we're getting something that's better. When you witness to people, you know, don't fall in the trap that, you know, you can tell them what Jesus has done for you, but don't fall into the trap of it does sound like carnality at the beginning. Say, well, don't you want a better life? Don't you want, you got Jesus, you're going to get a better life. You fall right into it. Said, no, you still got life. You still got troubles. But you have Jesus to help you with these things. That's the difference. You have the Lord Jesus. And they won't get that. I mean, you don't want to, well, if you get him, then you get this and this. And if you just sign up for $29.99, you get this and this and this. Only three small payments. They're two small payments. You know, just whatever. But you're not selling anything. You just tell people what the Lord has done for you. Anybody's got half a brain, they're going to be by themselves, and they're going to think, and God's going to get a hold of them. It's just how it happens over and over again. In the church house, and God will get a hold of them and speak to their heart. And we've got to have the scriptures to do that. Faith cometh, we've got to open a Bible. We've got to have the Word of God. It's got to be there. The Bible says, now the things, verse 1 of chapter 8, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight. We're so thankful for your word. Lord, it guides us, and what a rock it is, Lord, in these times. And Father, I'm so thankful. I don't get up and stick a finger in the air and figure out what we're going to do. And we keep doing what we're supposed to do. Keep doing what you've asked us to do. It's to occupy, it's to preach your word, it's to share it, it's to love our neighbor. Father, love the people that are around us, be a help to others, and to not tear people down. Father, lift them up and help them. Lord, even people we don't agree with and other ideologies, Lord, other ways, other circles, Lord, but to help them up, to be kind to people, show love of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to continue in that. Pray that you bless the lesson tonight. We do pray for our Patch Club downstairs. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters up in Glen Allen tonight, that you'd lift them up. And Father, we do pray for health. Pray for those also that are struggling. And ask that you'd help them. Thank you for helping us get here safe. We are thankful for that, Lord. Thank you for the snow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We talked about, this is where we finished last week's verse 1. Sometimes these chapters are spillovers in where folks broke them with the chapters. All written as letters. If you got Hebrews or Matt, I mean, they all just flow, right? So, but then you got to, you break them up, because the Bible says in verse number 1, we have such an high priest. They're down there in the middle of verse 1. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. They say that the Spirit of God is here and Jesus Christ is there. And I was preaching a youth camp in Pasco. Man, I got a funny look from a preacher. I didn't get it. Like, I don't know what I said, but I just said, because, young people, I just said, I just want them to know. I said, man, the Bible promises, you got the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you when you trust Jesus. I said, but then Jesus, where's he at? I said, the Bible says he sits on the right hand of God. He prays for us every day. So that would mean he's up, you can only see it when you're preaching. People with a scrunch up face. I'm like, I always stuck with you. I'm like, well, I don't know, whatever. we keep going. I got verses for it. So I just thought it was bizarre. It was strange. I don't have to wonder where he is. I have to wonder. I have to go to Israel and look in the tomb and make sure. I would love to. It'd be awesome. I was listening to who was I listening to? My pillow. Yes, Lindell's testimony. Interesting person. Functioning heroin addict. Functioning drug addict. Came up with the pillow stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen the My Pillow stuff, but anyways, just an amazing testimony. He's in a drug house telling people about the Lord, telling them about the Lord when he wasn't even saved. Just unbelievable. I mean, just bizarre. I mean, I used to hear stuff like that when I was younger, and I thought, this can't be a lost person leading somebody to the Lord. But it doesn't matter. God can use whoever he wants to use. It's not what you think is possible. It's what God can do. And then anyway, Israel, he was talking about the Bible coming to life, going over over to Israel, and he's not quiet about what Jesus Christ has done in his life, and just a great testimony. But we know where the Lord is. We know where he's at. He's there. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. The Bible says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadows of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. So Moses, he wasn't just born with a blueprint. God had to tell him, this is what it needs to look like. You say, well, I'm not hanging my hat on Moses and I'm hanging my hat on the prophets. They all got told what to say. They all got told what to do. Who told them? I'm going with the guy that told them, right? Somebody that knows, somebody that's better. Going with the theme here. For see, verse 5 says, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Have the Old Testament law. We've talked about that. We'll go back and go over those things. Going through some of the themes in Genesis on Sunday nights when we get through the Abrahamic covenant and see, you know, and teach, especially our young people, why is it important that we pray for Israel? Why is it important that we are strong about Israel when we talk about foreign policies? Because it's the Bible. The Bible tells us this. You know, we look at these things and say, well, this is the right thing, this is the right thing. Why? Because the Bible says it is. I mean, it's not written somewhere else. The things are founded upon the Scriptures, things that had come before. And this is why we do these things. The Bible says it was established upon better promises, verse 6 says. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, if you just read verse 7 and you took it out of context, you'd say something that God put down wasn't perfect because it was a covenant and it had fault. Right? If you just took 7 out and you pulled it out of context. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them. Okay? There's nothing wrong with God's Word. There's lots of things wrong with us when we don't follow His Word. And that's how, could you imagine somebody, somebody got in a cart accident, but you're going to have your animal sacrificed and you don't even stop and help them because you're thinking, well, I got to go get my sacrifice. I'm not going to help that person on the side of the road. I got something better to do, right? And it's in the name of the love of God and obeying the Bible. And what God say? Get over there and help your neighbor, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that covenant, but the people that were following it, they were using it for wrong, and we see that. We see that even now when we're going through Matthew there on Sunday mornings. Nothing wrong with the first covenant. I've written my margin here. It says there was fault with the people. They didn't have God in their hearts. They had a lot written down. We're going to follow this. We're going to do this. But man, there's a difference. Do you go farther when it's in your heart, or do you pull up short? I mean, Larry Bird only played like 10 years of pro basketball because of how he played the game. Broken back, broken everything. I mean, there's those diving into score tables and stuff for loose balls. Other guys now don't even get to touch each other. It's a foul. I mean, it's crazy. Well, look at so-and-so. They're amazing. They played for a lot of years. Yeah, but how did they play? The old guys, they wore armor because of how they played. You say, well, what are you talking about? When something's in your heart and you really have that desire for it, the message, I hardly ever preach the message of the second mile Christian, the second mile Christianity. And there are a lot of times it gets preached out of context because you say, well, look at this person. Look how far they went. Can't you go farther than them? It's not about going farther than them. It's just me and the Lord. Do I love them? Then why would I quit after 2 miles? I'm going to wear this Roman dude out. I'm going to go with him everywhere he goes. Right? I mean, if it's in your heart. If it's in your heart versus, you know, you get your iWatch back then and your pedometer, and that is 2 miles. I'm done with you, right? I've had it with you. Not in the heart, though. Not in the heart, because you're not packing it for him. You're packing it for the Lord, right? I mean, that is, and that's what we try to teach our young people. That's what we try. You know, when you're doing a job, it's and you're doing it for this reason, and it gives you your motivation to do it. And how you do it, very important. Nothing wrong with a covenant, but the people that were trying to follow it, there was fault with them. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. not according, verse 9 says, to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Very similar passage there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We talk about separation. He said, man, if you obey, you follow and follow my word. He said, I will be to you a God, and you will be to me a people. I'll take care of you, meet your needs. All the promises he gives. Verse 11. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Last Sunday we were talking about the hard heart needs to forgive. It is unbelievable how hate is being pushed today. It's just all the time. What if you chose not to follow this line of thinking that I gotta hate somebody? There has to be a conflict. I listen to a lot of people, but lately I've been listening to a lot of black folks, Candace Owens, different people, because I am not black. I don't think like them. Cuomo's brother said the other day on the news, I'm black on the inside. He's getting raked over the coals for it. And it's a stupid thing to say something like that. And everybody in the world understands probably what he was getting at. But, you know, well, you ain't got no soul or something like that. And we talk about, no, but I like it. It's interesting. It's culture. It's a cultural thing. I think it was like Monday or Tuesday. I said, man, we could take a bunch of preachers and just go inner city and start churches. It looked weird because you'd have a white guy leading black churches. But this, they said, part of the problem is in the black churches, they're preaching victimology. They're preaching this, we're the victim, we're the this, and we're the that. And so they get it on Sunday. They get it, well, they don't go to a lot of school, but they get it at home from whoever. They get it from the game. So it's like, we're a victim. They owe us, right? And this is that thinking that goes into that. And God always have to be at odds. Can't forgive. You know, can't forgive. And then it is so awesome to hear them talk about, because they say, well, it's a problem. I said, well, it's racism. It's racism. And here's Morgan Freeman telling, I think it's Don Lemon, one of the main liberal media guys, is like, well, don't you think racism? I said, no. He said, look at us. He's like, look at us. I mean, Morgan Freeman, he's a quadrillionaire. Right? He said, no. And all this. So you can be who you want to be. It's all a beer. He's like, come on, man. He's like, what are you talking about? Well, it's just such this agenda, you know. And I tell my kids, it's like, you don't look at somebody and say, well, you just treat them like you'd treat anybody. I mean, I grew up in north of Spokane. And the only place, going to play sports, we'd play Medical Lake. Medical Lake was Fairchild Air Force Base. Just like all the other military outfits. People come in, people go out. People come in, people go out. People come in, people go out. And I just remember 7th, 8th grade going there and saying, damn, I played against these big black brothers. I was like, holy cow. I hit this guy, man. I hit a bowling ball. Like, man, oh, it was tough. But up in our court, I mean, just over the hill in Idaho was Aryan Nation stuff north of Quarter Lane. And, I mean, it was just not very far. And we were in college. We were going to, I can't remember if we were going to play UConn, we were going somewhere. And all the black teammates were just, they were all just hyper about something going on in the plane, something like more than normal, something like, what is going on? What are you talking about? Well, Richard Butler is like the head of the Aryan Nation. He's probably dead now, but he's an old white man. Sitting in the back of it. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea who he was. And I feel ignorant at times, but then at other times, I feel great because I could just walk up to somebody and just talk to them and not be, oh, you got to be this and you got to be this because you're this and I'm this. I know. It's just so interesting. And not playing into that is huge. You just can't get emotional about saying, it's not about saying, man, God loves people. You're people, I'm a people. Keep it simple, and it's a blessing. There are folks trying their best to do this. I mean, they do, but you got every 4 years, every election cycle, you got people come in and stir up the pot. If the honest people are racist, look what they did. Interesting statistic from 19, I think it was like 1913, 1915 to the mid 1960s. 3,400 lynchings, hangings. Of black people from that time, 80-year span. I think it was roughly, it's an 80-year span, 3,400. Black-on-black homicides every 6 months, 3,500. Every 6 months. But what did they look at? What they did. And Buck said, look at what we're doing. It's insane. And folks are, they're coming around to say, we're being used. Yeah, you're being used. I hate it. It drives me crazy. I mean, even the pro sports and all those things, they think, well, we're smart. No, you're used. You're just a highly paid actor. Now, don't get me wrong. If I could have got a shot when I got out of college, that's what I was trying to do. But I was, I was trying to see how far I could go, that kind of thing. But the idea is, just because we're super gifted athletically or something, that doesn't make us better than the person next to us. Give me a break. He's like, well, I'm important. Listen to me. You get paid $10 million a year for a shoe contract, and the people making your shoes are being genocided out in that country over there, and you won't say boo to it. Unbelievable. So today they're talking about their senators call for the NBA to pull out of China because the Chinese people are crazy about basketball. They love basketball, and they got a league over there, and they'll let one American per team play, So some of these guys that washed out early in the NBA, they went over there and they've made a quadrillion dollars and they're famous and they're this and they're that over there. But to speak out like that, part of the Communist Party owns part of the television network, so they said, no, you can't say anything. It don't matter who you are. Yeah, and when we went to Bangkok on a missions trip, the picture of the king, he is on every corner. He was a good guy. He likes his people. But his son was training with the radical Muslim outfit, and they didn't know how this transition thing was going to go. They said, "Bet if you speak out against the king, you go to prison. You don't get up and demonstrate. You don't it don't matter what country you're from. You go there. They call it the Bangkok Hilton, and you don't come out. There's books written about it. Scary to think you don't. We don't get that as Americans. We don't like. Oh, well, I'd like to see it. They're there. So let's say this. Forgive. Short circuit all that junk. And I just you and me, man. I don't know. What if you got split in a situation and you had to get something done? I mean, what are you going to do? Oh, no, because of history, because of that. No, give me a break. Yeah, break that stuff. Break it. Break it down. Break it down with the love of God. The Bible says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Well, if they're like us, then we get, no, take the love of Jesus to them. How come he's eating with sinners? And how come he's eating? They need help. The Bible says their sins and their iniquities, well, I remember no more. Verse 13. And that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And we'll just read there the first verse of chapter 9. Then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. We don't have time, we'll go into Corinthians, but the sanctuary God has now where he dwells. It talks about not made with hands. Thus, not this tent that we pack around and getting everything set up in just the right spot. It's us. No, you're not. You're bought with a price. I mean, it is us. And it's important to see. God to help us to live. God to help us to do the things we need to do. And as I said tonight, not a long message tonight, but man, we don't have to say, boy, I really want to stand out for the Lord. Just keep going the way you're going. Reading your Bible every day, praying, being kind to people. Not that, well, I can only talk to them if I know their affiliations or what. No, mess people up. Get in there and talk to them. And I'm thankful for people that even people that have character to stick to their guns, even if I think that they're got the wrong guns, you know, but they got some grit to them. I'm thankful for that. Father, we do thank you for your grace to us. And we ask that you'd help us. Lord, we want to love people, and we don't want to naturally, for sure. But you've come inside, you indwell us, and you want us to show your love to them. Father, help us to be faithful that way. Help us teach our young people that way. Lord, we could break this cycle of hate that goes on. And Lord, this cycle of using people, and it's all in different levels, and it just looks more sophisticated, but it is simple when it comes right down to us. People not loving people. They're loving money, and they're using people instead of loving people and using money and resources you've given us to glorify yourself. Help us now as we pray tonight. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. There's a new sheet back there if you need a new prayer sheet. Next week we'll be in 9 of Hebrews.